There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weightloss. That's PlushCare.com/weightloss. PlushCare.com/weightloss.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Do you want to meet myself and Ollie Davis of Wrestle Ramble fame? Well, you can do just that by joining us at Wrestling Media Con on September 8th and 9th from the Bowlers Exhibition Centre in Manchester, England. Ollie and I will be doing a live episode of Wrestle Ramble as well as signings and photos, but that's not all. Wrestling Media Con will have shows from Cultaholic, Inside the Ropes, Wrestling with Regret, Don Callis, Botchamania, Art of Wrestling, Sean Waltman, and more. There will also be the first ever Wrestling Media Hall of Fame and wrestling shows from Impact Wrestling, where they will be taking on the best the UK has to offer, and Revolution Pro Wrestling featuring the legendary Jushin Thunder Liger defending his British J Cup crown. Tickets are on sale now, so head over to WrestlingMediaCon.com. That's WrestlingMediaCon.com.
Support WrestleTalk.
Give us a subscribe.
Making their way to the ring at a combined weight of undeniably sexy, hailing from London, the Wrestle Ramble Podcast!
A giant injury storyline on WOS. I'm Ollie Davis. This is Luke Owen. Welcome to the WOS Wrestling Post Show on Wrestle Ramble, where I guess the biggest thing, quite literally, coming out of this week's episode, episode 3, for those of you who are keeping count, it's not like just an infinitely expanding series of episodes like other wrestling promotions. Clear defined series.
Yes,
ten episodes.
We are week 3 into 10.
Yeah.
Yes.
Which is nice because, like a Netflix series, I feel like the story, we're coming out of the sort of the context building stage and we're entering into the middle, and I imagine everything's just going to kick off for the last 3 episodes for that big season finale.
Exactly. We've started some storylines, like who is going to be the person who's going to take the championship off Rampage Brown, should there ever be a person that takes the title off of Rampage. What's his relationship with Stu Bennett? And this new storyline we've got here with Big Old Crater. Storyline that you called, you saw coming last week. But clearly, Ollie, you are one of the smart people. Because even though they essentially said at the end of the episode, by the way, it's Crater, there were still quite a lot of people on message boards and in reviews going like, can't believe they've done a Money in the Bank ladder match for a championship opportunity. What's the point in doing that? And I'm like, mate, they literally say at the end of the episode, that's not what it was for.
I don't know how much shadier Stu Bennett could have been last week. No, it's not a contract.
Yeah.
It's not a contract. It's a big opportunity, which I'm sure Kid won't regret in the slightest. Evil laugh.
Maniacal laugh.
Yes, of course, this was Gabriel Kidd who won that terrific 4-way ladder match last week for a mysterious opportunity.
A big opportunity.
Yeah, the biggest. And Gabriel Kidd comes down, plucky. You said he looks like a young William Regal.
He proper looks like a young William Regal. He's got like the tights, sort of like the trunks pulled up, sort of past his navel. He's got a bit of William Regal about his face, the same haircut. Just looks like a young William Regal.
He's kind of got that Renaissance man style, like Cesaro is back to basics, just tough guy mat wrestling.
Yeah. How did that work out for him in his match here?
Yeah, well, you know, it's. This guy's literally twice the size. So Stu Bennett goes, well, here is your big opportunity. It's Crater. And Crater, I hope this becomes more of the presentation. When Crater comes out, he doesn't just have the Titantron video. He gets like a video package thing that's part of his entrance music video that takes over the entire screen. Something that I miss so much from the days when I used to watch WWF.
And if you are watching this and aren't watching WOS because you're not part of the United Kingdom here, Crater is a very, very large, 36 stone, they bill him as. He is a big old boy, and he literally looks like a comic book villain. Because
yeah.
He's got like a big, almost Bane-style mask, and he's just a big, imposing, giant man. Sort of man that would, like, Killian Dane would look at him and go, like, looking, you're a big boy.
Yeah, oh, wow.
Yeah, oh, you're quite large.
Yeah, the character design's really cool. Behind the mask, it's all this, like, sort of green colour. He just seems evil.
It's like, putting his hand down his face and stuff. It's cool. It's a cool presentation.
And when people say, you know, Matt, that guy is, like, he's round. You think, yeah, but, you know, they're not actually the physical shape of a circle. Crater is. I like the presentation of Crater and everything, but I struggle to buy into these sorts of characters because, that like, I just don't see him as athletic.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a style of wrestling. But storyline-wise, and the execution and portrayal of the character is great. But
yeah.
I personally prefer the big men who can then suddenly bust out a dropkick. Or like, yeah.
A Justin Sizem, for example.
Yeah, well, yeah, in the main event. But yeah, Crater, the Crater's not that kind of wrestler. He's the character that comes in and just squashes people.
He is a planet and people orbit around
him. Yeah, yeah. And that's what happened here. And the commentary was really good at getting over Stu as, well, you know, I came up. It was a tough scene when I was coming up. I was thrown around a lot.
He's like, these millennials, they've got it so easy.
With their avocados.
Avocados on toast, not being able to buy houses. I want to see them get thrown around the ring by larger gentlemen.
And that's like, that fits Stu's character. They've done a really good job at just making him a bit more dastardly every week. But on the flip side of that is Alex Shane, who was just morally outraged. And he's got this like great bit where he talks about, look, I'm going to do my job. I'm going to be professional here. But I will go on record as saying this is a morally reprehensible act. It really got over.
Such a JR call.
Yeah, yeah, it is.
Such
totally,
a JR
isn't it?
Call.
Yeah. And it just, yeah, it gets over the just how wicked, in a bad way, that Crater and Stu are.
Mm.
And this sort of dominating big heel faction that's kind of emerging over WOS.
Absolutely.
The match was literally Crater throwing Kid around.
Yeah, Kid got a couple of hope spots in there. Some really nice, actually. I thought Kid, his performance in this match was really,
Kid's
really good.
Good.
Selling the fear of, you know, facing against Crater, but then also selling these legitimate-looking hope spots against the much larger man. But unfortunately for him, he did end up getting, he got the big old splash that like essentially sent him through the mat. And they did a big stretcher job, and the stretcher came out and took him towards the back. A really, really sort of effective, and it puts over how dangerous Crater's finishing move is, this splash move.
That's the huge win of this. Like, you make Crater look like a monster, but just as importantly, his finisher isn't just something that you can win a match with. It's something that writes guys off television. And then, you keep doing these, I hope, where each guy gets stretched out, and then when Crater eventually comes up against the big baby face, I would love to see a Justin Sizem or Joe Hendry.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's where this might be going. And they get to kick out and everyone goes crazy.
Yeah, Justin Sizem seems like quite the obvious choice because he is the big sort of comic book superhero looking character. But I'd love it to be Robbie X.
Oh, yeah, Battle of the Masks.
Battle of the Masked Men. He's a smaller guy, but he can do all the big flippy stuff around him. I think you could really build Robbie X into that position.
I would like to see that. Yeah, I would like to see that feud, but I wouldn't like to see Robbie X kick out of the splash.
No, not kick out of the splash. Yeah. That's a move that you should always protect.
Mm.
But he's going to be the guy to get the big win over Crater.
Yeah, that would be cool.
Say at the end of this 10-episode run.
Yeah, so Crater's being built up like that. So to answer your question, I don't think they're building Crater up to go against Rampage, because that's a dynamic that doesn't work. You'll have heel against heel. But definitely Crater's being built up for some secondary blood feud top of the card.
This feels like the first chapter of his storyline now, which is squashing these smaller guys who just don't stand a chance, and you build up to that young plucky baby face who's, you know, another bloody millennial that Crater's going to destroy. And it turns out that it's going to be someone like a Robbie X that can get the big win over the big Crater.
Or fan favourite Dave Meltzer's favourite guilty pleasure, Grado.
Or it could be Grado.
diggity, dick, diggity, dog. Quicken, dick, dick, diggity, dick, diggity, dog.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Cats and cat owners deserve better than any old-fashioned litter. That's why I teamed up with scientists and veterinarians to create Pretty Litter. Its innovative crystal formula has superior odor control and weighs up to 80% less than clay litter. Pretty Litter even monitors health by changing colors to help detect early signs of potential illness. It's the world's smartest kitty litter.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
I didn't really know where they were going to go with Grado. Inaugural WOS champion, loses the title in the first week. The authority figure, Stu Bennett, has just been trashing him for being a comedy figure. And I was like, well, yeah, that's good for the show, but where does Grado go from here? And I must say, that Grado and the show have really taken a good direction with it.
Yeah, so Grado, walks into Stu Bennett's office.
That's
we see
so
this,
funny.
And he's like, he wants another chance. He wants an opportunity. He lost the WOS championship. He wants another shot at this. And Stu's like, you need to start taking yourself seriously. And all this sort of stuff. So Grado comes out in a full suit.
Yeah.
Full suit, wearing his glasses, taking this seriously. Even goes through his hand gesture, stopping himself. And just applauding politely because he's taking this seriously now. Stu Bennett was not best pleased with Grado being like, I feel again like he is starting to take the mick out of this a little bit.
Well, that's it. Like, Stu was initially, well, let's see where this goes. This is certainly an improvement, but he was apprehensive. So the visual cutting rate and everything has come under a lot of criticism, and rightfully so. It's sometimes quite disorientating. Mm. But the backstage segment here, where between Grado and Stu Bennett, that was shot earlier in the day, I assume,
yep,
was done to perfection. It really nailed that structured reality,
yes,
format of, it looks totally naturalistic, even though you're cutting between about five different camera shots. Ergo, there's loads of camera crews in this naturalistic scene that's unfolding.
Yeah, like in The Only Way Is Essex,
yeah,
and these
yeah.
sorts of shows where, like, oh, there's just one, and it's bloody not your cross-cutting cameras
yeah.
here. They've got different setups.
And that's ITV's bread and butter, and that's a really nice change. I thought it worked really well. It allowed the comic delivery to have the right pacing, as opposed to WWE's one-shot stuff, where everyone just kind of stands looking awkward.
The blocking is very, very poor.
Yeah.
But this works around that quite nicely. So he comes out, Alex Shane says that he looks like an accountant, said that he looks like a history teacher or a headmaster. And he really does, actually, when he's in a suit and his glasses. And he's facing up against Shah Samuels.
East!
Who is really, really good. What a great look Shah has.
Great gimmick. Like, just great promo, solid wrestler.
Yeah.
Love Shah Samuels.
What a great man. Terrifying as well.
He's such a good heel. The camera cuts to some guys in the crowd, one of whom is wearing Shah Samuels' East t-shirt. And that guy's booing Shah Samuels.
It's very, very
funny. Kayfabe.
Yeah, and this is where we did get SoCal called Grado Dave Meltzer's guilty pleasure, which really, really made me laugh.
ITV, 5 p.m. on a Saturday. When was that? When did you ever think you'd hear Dave Meltzer's name on mainstream British television like that?
There's a large portion of this audience going to go, who?
Dave Meltzer, he sounds important.
He sounds important. Better look up, subscribe to that Wrestling Observer newsletter I've heard so much about.
Yeah, so this was a decent match that told a good story, and it was all about Grado trying to be the accountant, but he's losing. But it's only when he rips off the...
Well, it's where a kid gives his hat.
Yeah,
Shah takes him up onto the ramp to do a pile driver, which they put over its band move, and he does the big back body drop, and then his kid takes off Grado's hat and gives it to Grado. Grado puts it on, and almost the old Grado starts to pour back out of him, and he tears off his shirt to reveal he's wearing his singlet underneath, rips off the pants, and it was really good. The crowd really popped when the old Grado returned. The old Grado.
And Grado's just got so much charisma.
Yeah.
And even though he's not like the most authentically threatening man on the planet, he, like, just the way he moves, he did this really cool point and look at Stu Bennett, and she's like, oh, I'm grumpy with you, which they played in a replay in slow motion, which was a funny follow-up to that. And yeah, Shah comes off the top rope, Grado hits a cutter for the win. This is just a fun story, really solid opener. It builds that Grado-Stu feud. I would love to see that, actually. Yeah. A Stu's return to the ring against Grado. Oh. That's something I never thought I wanted. And this sets up the theme of... like, what I noticed this week was how every match had something at stake.
Mm-hmm.
And here it was Grado trying to impress Stu.
Or trying to wind Stu up.
Yeah, both of those things. And the next match, Martin Kirby versus Joe Hendry. That was a grudge match that was set up 2 weeks ago. This is the payoff to that. Again, Joe is super over with the song. Joe Hendry!
He's here to make things better.
And
he's on a title quest.
Yeah, and they had like a decent match by the end of it. Like, it was just a normal match. But by the end, I really got into it. And so did the crowd, more importantly. And I was thinking, yeah, but Joe's going to win here. Which is a shame for Kirby, because that sort of sends him nowhere. Of course, Kirby gets the cheeky roll-up victory with his legs on the rope. Perfect way to protect Kirby. Joe doesn't lose anything, because he lost in a visible, cheating way. I thought that was great booking.
I thought it was really good stuff. Although it does mean now that 3 weeks in, Joe Hendry's yet to win a match. Lost the tag match, lost to Rampage last week, and lost here. That's what I was thinking. I was like, man, surely Hendry's got to get the win here. But yeah, but I think it's a loss that does protect him. Like it, and the same as last week as well. It was the outside interference. Week one, he was on his own. It was a 2-on-1 handicap match, essentially, because Kirby walked out on the match. So it's not like he's being portrayed as this massive loser. It's that the odds are always stacked against him.
Yeah, that's a better way of framing it. And he's super over.
So over. Like, the entrance music is really, really over.
Then we got the, again, something else at stake. The latest in the tag team tournament, which was Stevie Boy and BT Gunn. A great tag team.
Such a great tag team.
Against the makeshift team of CJ Banks and Brad Slater. Bit weird use of CJ Banks, seeing that he's in the heel 3 faction.
Yeah, you'd think he would be with him and Shah.
Mm. So that was a bit awkward. So you kind of always knew who was going to win here, especially with only heel teams advancing so far.
Yes.
The babyfaces were going to win. But
I agree.
Stevie Boy and BT Gunn, they are slick.
Lots of really good tag team maneuvers from the pair of them. I really enjoyed them, actually.
And then there was the Crater versus Gabriel Kidd match, an injury angle, which effectively got over Crater. And then we got a big heavyweight match at the end against Rampage defending his title against Justin Sizem.
Big fan for Justin Sizem. I'm a big old Justin Sizem mark, to be honest.
Yeah, Justin Sizem's great. I would only... So this was this for the title?
Yes.
Yeah. So I would like... I mean, I get that Rampage is a fighting champion, but... And it's good to have the title on the line every week. Or is it, you know?
Yeah, it's... That's an interesting question, to be honest, because it's like... You
defended it last week. He won it the week before.
Yeah, and then revealed that next week there's going to be another title match for Rampage as well. So it appears that he's going to be defending this title on every show up until this point.
Brock.
I think it's kind of a good thing, because it really puts over the prestige and the importance of the title, and you want to defend this sort of thing. But at the same time, is that we are going to see... Are we going to see the same finish every week, which is Shah and CJ Banks costing the babyface get the title shots. Mm.
And defending a title every week, granted, it has shenanigans involved. It's kind of a babyface thing to do. It's not bad. It's just. I don't know if it's the most effective use.
Almost want to see Rampage holding the belt hostage.
Yeah, like, a bit like that.
Yeah, almost like what Brock is doing at the moment, really.
Especially with, if you're buddy-buddy with the authority figure, the guy that books the matches, then he should, you know, sort of help you out there.
But I enjoyed this match, though, because Sizem's so good. For the size that he is, he does some very athletic stuff. Like, he moves almost like Will Ospreay.
Shall I share my Justin Sizem story?
Please do.
So I was speaking to a mutual friend of me and Justin's over the phone.
I know what story this is.
And that they brought up Justin's name. And I was like, man, he's got such a good body. Like, I just said that because that's, you know, you appreciate wrestlers for the shape they're in sometimes. Like, he's like a Greek Adonis.
Dave Meltzer says it all the time.
Exactly. And, you know, that guy's in good shape. Good on you, man. That's the tone in which I meant it. And the person on the other line was like, that's a bit much. So, and I was like, please don't say anything. And he was ribbing me for ages. And then I finally meet Justin, and the first thing this mutual friend does is go, Ollie thinks you got a great body. And it was just so awkward. I went beet red. I didn't really know how to explain myself out of that situation.
Yeah, totally.
But yes, he's got a great body.
He
lost here by, it's quite innovative, by Banks going under the ring and holding Sizem's leg under the apron as Sizem was trying to get back in. So it was a count out loss.
I thought it was a really effective finish, actually.
I haven't seen that before.
But while I was watching the show, it reminded me, you've read Daniel Bryan's book? Yes, My Improbable
Not
Journey.
Not for a long time.
He has a portion in that when he talks about his first trip over to England and working the British wrestling circuit, which is when he first met William Regal, and they sort of worked together, and William Regal introduced him to, you know, the British style of wrestling, particularly round things like Butlins and these sorts of like holiday home things and stuff, like camps and stuff like that. And Daniel Bryan has always said that it's his favourite time in wrestling. Mm. It's like more than being in WWE, more than main eventing WrestleMania, because it was so much fun doing those sorts of shows and entertaining the crowd. And I get that sort of vibe from this here.
Yeah.
And that's not meant to sound like it's a negative in any slight. I just think it's so much fun to watch. And everyone who's working on it just seems to be really enjoying themselves and really entertaining the crowd. Crowd are into everything that is going on. And it's just so much fun to watch.
Maybe it's because it's a new product and the cynicism hasn't set in for me yet.
Yeah.
But it's almost like I watch this and I'm not going, oh, that's a silly decision. Or like, what are they doing booking-wise here? Like I do with WWE or even New Japan. I'm like, oh, where are they going to take this next? I watch this like, I'm in the kayfabe.
Yeah, totally.
It's quite nice.
Do you remember when WWE did a Saturday Morning Slam?
No.
Oh, they had this. It was a show they did on Saturday mornings designed specifically for kids. And actually had very similar editing to WOS, at least what our theory is about the sort of point of impact sort of thing. And that was always like, as soon as someone was slammed on the mat, it was a cutaway. It was really heavily cut around sort of like the action that was taking place. But Daniel Bryan was like the commissioner. And it was, honestly, when you watch it, you almost look at him as like, he is having the most fun here. Because he's being a very silly comedy character, and everyone is being very silly comedy characters within this. Because it's designed for children. And it was genuinely very, very fun. And like the boys that were working there just looked like they were having a whale of a time doing it.
Yeah, great characters, great stories so far. It's solid, solid stuff.
But you'd never watch Saturday Morning Slam and be like, well, that was a silly booking decision, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts?
Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.